Good morning, comrades. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning, Comrade. We have Jeff and Robert on the show. Robert.
We just did a 40-minute talk about pro wrestling.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
We didn't torture you because we know.
You can go check out twitch.tv/goodmorningcomraderadio or youtube.com/goodmorningcomrade. We've actually been putting up a little bit more videos of our past couple shows, just kind of experimenting with the live streaming, like
me pretending to be a fascist and helldivers too.
I used to do it. I mean, if people don't remember, I used to do a daily live stream.
Yeah,
for like when COVID happened and I was like working from home, I would just like wake up extra early because I didn't have to like get up and go to work. I did like an hour news show, and then like I would just do work stuff. So, like, that was, like, the rhythm back in the day. And that was pretty fun. I couldn't do it again for reasons. Like, because, like, I'm working now.
You have a life.
All the time reasons. But, like, that was a fun little, like, it actually kept me up with the news. But also, I kind of got sick of the news for a while, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. I know what you mean. It's hard to ingest all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even think, like, if this was our job, I don't even know if I'd... I wonder how fast... I'd probably burn out so fast.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, it's so... It's too much to absorb. That's why we just had a 40-minute talk about pro wrestling off the air, because it's just nice to talk about something else, anything else.
Yeah.
I'm going to... What's that?
Turn that mic toward you.
Oh, sorry. Like that?
Like directly toward that? You. Yeah.
Hold on. I can't really turn it. I have to turn my head. I can't really turn it anymore.
Perfect. Much better. All right.
Okay, cool. I'm going to be, this is the first time I think you've heard of this. I'm going to be out of the country in next Saturday until the 6th.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Norway. Flying into Heathrow, then going to Holland, going to Amsterdam. And then going to Norway, gonna visit the Sami people, which are the indigenous people of Norway, who are also like all in for Palestine. They're like, Al Jazeera did a really good, article about who are the Sami and why do they love Palestinians so much? It's because they were also pushed to the margins. And it's really cool to kind of, I don't know, I'm not an anthropologist, but it's really cool to like look at them aesthetically as a people, because they look like white Caucasian Native Americans. The best way to describe it. So if you took like Native American features and then they were just white, and you could tell they were just the people who, instead of going across the Bering Strait, they just went the opposite way. Cause you see, like, you ever seen, because, you know, like, okay, so you've ever seen, like, Russian videos from, like, the Russian backcountry, like, not, like, Europe, like, Asia, Russia? And you could tell, like, oh, I'm Russian. I live in Russia. It's like, bro, you are three quarters Chinese. Because that's just how the gradation of genetics goes, right?
You're the steppe Russian.
Yeah. So, like, you look at these people and they're, like, they're from Norway, but they don't look how like, they don't look Norwegian. Right? Yeah. They look way more Asian than Norwegian. I know I'm probably saying that all wrong, but I hope that everybody knows what I'm getting at. It's just like they're just like really cool to see another indigenous culture that has survived. And they herd reindeer and they have their own land, and they're all like, you know, they're just cool. And I'm looking forward to petting a sled dog and petting a reindeer. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, I think like later this year, I might be going to Scotland for a little while,
oh,
maybe
wow.
like different parts of from the British Isles.
Wow.
They'll try and hit Ireland. I don't know if there'll be enough time, but like Kimberly's going for a convention for like for work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to try and like get out up there and, you know, have a little fun.
Well, if you go to Ireland, make sure to take the Black Cab Tour. Book one of those. It's just the cabbie drives you around cool. Northern Ireland. I mean, Southern Ireland, like, Republic, you know, like, Ireland is cool, but, like, Northern Ireland is cooler. I don't know. Make sure you go to Belfast.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have questions, holler at me, and I will tell you, like, where to go. It's really cool. Totally.
But, So, man. What are we going to do if they ban TikTok? Like, that's, like, kind of weird. I mean, like, I guess it's not going to affect us as, like this show or like how we promote ourselves. Obviously, like we try to do it, but like, I mean, you know what's on TikTok now? I mean, like there's actually, it's actually like outside of like all the kind of crazy stuff that you see, like, you know, a million billion different like thirst trap videos or whatever. And like, you know, some guy talking about, you know, like some politics thing while like Subway Surfers is on the other half of the screen or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, but like, then you also have like actual like media and kids like talking about Palestine. And that can't, that's like media that's not controlled by United States State Department. You know what I mean? It's like the only one because it's like according to this bill that they're like running through that just passed the House as of
passed the House. It's not banned yet because it's got to go through the Senate. But Sleepy Joe already said he's going to sign it if it goes through the Senate.
But like part of the reason is too, like, literally the Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt, literally was caught on video like saying that we have a TikTok problem and like was talking about how like they needed to like basically just clamp down on that stuff.
Can you I know what you're talking about. Can you go into that a little bit more before I give my thoughts on
Let's talk about the bill first and then I'll pull up the clip.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So I guess right here, House passes bill that could lead to a TikTok ban if Chinese owner refuses to sell. So they're literally turning it into Cold War stuff. Mm-hmm. This is from the Associated Press, Dateline the 13th. The House on Wednesday, the United States House, passed a bill that would lead to the nationwide ban of the popular video app TikTok if its China-based owner doesn't sell its stake, as lawmakers acted on concerns that the company's current ownership structure is a national security threat. Now, that part already is, like, it's BS, but, like, if you are a State Department person or if you're just, like, you know, one of these NatSec freaks, like, it's not BS to you because you're not necessarily even worried about national security. You're worried about control of information, right? And part of the problem with TikTok is that the fact that it is like partially run by like Chinese investors, essentially, it's like less beholden to those you know, like Facebook and, you know, Meta. And also, don't let like Elon Musk lie to you. Like, he bends the knee and he licks the boots probably more than any of them. He just tries to pretend that he doesn't. But like, and I'm not even like trying to make a case that like TikTok is the revolution or anything like that, but like the idea that you know they can just sort of like wipe out one of these, like an entire social media platform, in part because it's like funded by foreign investors, is crazy. Here is an audio recording of, again, I think Read Black from the AAL. This is the real issue because they say they have a major TikTok problem. And part of that is because people on, like, there's a lot of people on TikTok who are like literally just posting Free Palestine stuff and video of what's actually happening in the genocide up there. So just listen up.
I also want to point out that we have a major generational problem. All the polling I've seen, ADL's polling, ICC's polling, independent polling, suggests this is not a left-right gap, folks. The issue in the United States supporting Israel is not left and right. It is young and old.
So, again, this is like the thing that always seems to happen when it comes to Gaza, by the way. I just wanted to like pause it really quick. Because when it comes to Gaza, they always like roll back to October 7th. And they don't talk about like all of the violence that has happened both before and after October 7th. So like the years of settlers occupying parts of the West Bank and actually pushing Gaza back to what it is now until they stop. Like that part is invisible. But like what happened on, you know, October 7th, even if you think that violence is not justified or whatever, like it's not the only violence that has ever happened. And in fact, what, even if you give, you know, the Israeli propaganda the full benefit of the doubt, like there was like 1,200 impacted or killed Israelis. Okay, fine. Even if you just grant that, which I don't, but like even if you did, like there's been 30,000 people killed in Palestine and Gaza since October 7th. So I mean, like, you want to talk about violence and who's done the violence? Like, boom, there you go. I mean, like, that's definitely Israel.
So I'm going to be a little bit more reactionary. And I don't think the impetus to ban TikTok has that much to do with us doing the bidding of AIPAC and Israel for once. Go ahead. Oh, I didn't know it wasn't
there. There's more.
All right.
The thing we need to put all of our energy and our brains towards is stopping TikTok is what Jonathan Greenblatt is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make that very clear.
Anything that's left-right divide, it's the wrong game. The real game is the next generation and the Hamas and their accomplices, the useful idiots in the West, are falling in line in ways that are terrifying. Last thing I'll just say, we saw a dramatic change in the language of the activists here in America on October the 8th.
This part is wild. This part is truly wild, by the way.
Which are groups that we've long tracked, have long been problematic.
Like, listen to the groups that he identifies as who are the problem here.
Groups for Justice in Palestine and Jewish Voices for Peace. They flipped like this and went to like Iranian propaganda. The language I could show you from their toolkits, because our analysts are in their group.
They're literally just saying that any sort of like end the genocide that is taking place in Palestine right now is Iranian propaganda. Which, by the way, if you want to like boost up Iran, you know what? A good way to do that is to kill 30,000 Palestinians, yeah, and then say anybody who's mad about that is doing Iranian propaganda. So that makes Iran look great.
Yeah, it might be, but it yeah, it so if I was to buy, okay, 100%, this is Jewish Voices for Peace, which I'm a member of. Okay, you've convinced me. It's all I'm doing the bidding of Tehran. Great. That doesn't mean the genocide's not happening. It's the same thing where I used to say about Russia Today, where people be like, "You know that's Russian propaganda." I'm like, "Yeah, but when they talk about America, that doesn't make it wrong." You know, so it's like, yeah, so who cares though? You're just trying to invent a boogeyman.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. It's always been, by the way, about like the Zionist entity, the settler colonial project. Like that's pretty common language for like anti-Zionist struggle, and it's used by a lot of Jews, groups like Jewish Voice for Peace, like literally.
Right.
That we recognized from Iranian propaganda.
So there you go.
Don't you mean Iranian backed Jewish Voices for Peace?
Yeah.
Don't you mean that? But, Hamas Health Administration.
So you were saying that you're thinking that this is not. So do you think it's not at all motivated by?
That's a bonus. This is a bonus.
So here's my thing, my take on it, and you can sort of respond if you'd like. But like my take is I think you're right that like this, they would try and ban TikTok like if they could like 10, like as soon as TikTok started, mm-hmm. right? As soon as TikTok became significant, they would ban it because they think it's something that they can't control. But now, because they're literally like AIPAC and ADL, like fund their, like a lot of Democrats, specifically Democrats, but also Republicans, electoral campaigns, they now have a weight pushing them towards doing it as soon as possible. And that's sort of like where I'm at when it comes to like why this is being pushed right now. And you see people like Nancy Pelosi and like all of the essentially the ADL backed Democrats like pushing like super hard for this. I just saw a clip a minute ago of, I wish I could find it. God, here it is. Nancy Pelosi right here being cringe as hell talking about this. Hold on.
This Ready? Is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A
winner. Pokemon, go to the polls.
Go to the poll. Like, if you're like trying to show how like disconnected from actual people you really are, you're doing a great job, Sweaty. But like,
oh my it's God, just... dude. This country's done.
Yeah, we're so good, man.
So I'm gonna circle back before I get into the banning thing. Like everything that guy from the ADL saying is that's who it was, right? The ADL, I can't remember.
It was Jonathan Greenblatt from the ADL.
Okay. Everything he's saying is correct if you but you just take away the bombastic language of how they are terrified of any kind of information distribution that they can't control, and right. then they know they've lost. We are the outliers, like as far as age goes, of people who are want a free Palestinian state and don't want, you know, Palestinians to be wiped off the face of the earth.
40 is kind of lying. 40 is
we're the outlier. But they
when my birthday hits later this year, maybe I'll be anti-Palestinian. Maybe I'll be lying.
There you go. But yeah, they know they know this thing's about over. But they don't know how to transition into something else. But yeah, so but going back to what I was saying, it's not a this isn't the main driver. The main driver is that China has the people who actually donate, the lobbyists, the tech lobby, big tech, whatever you want to call it, have that donate to the left and the right. Well, we don't have a left and right, but the Republicans and the Democrats in this country.
And what mainstream describes is left and right.
Yeah, so this is to protect Google and Facebook. This is not...
And
Twitter, yeah, absolutely. This is to protect them.
Elon Musk wants Big Daddy government to come in and mm-hmm. save his poor, small bean Twitter that he like is constantly losing money on.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I will... That's gotten out of hand... is if you want to have a discussion about being anti-TikTok, that's a discussion to be had because there are a lot of issues with TikTok, and TikTok is a social media app that everyone's using right now, but it's the same issues with anything Meta or Google are putting out, or especially Twitter's a dumpster fire. It's just a place, you know, a place for not, it's a Nazi clubhouse after Musk bought it. You know, it's, To the idea of how the TikTok that reaches that the Chinese government allows is completely different than ours, and they would never let the content that gets uploaded, shares, and goes viral here to be uploaded, shared, and go viral in China. So there's a question there of like why that is.
China does impingement on civil liberties for Chinese. Mm-hmm. For the Chinese, this is part of it's part of the Cold War, sure, but like it's also, I mean, again, if America is supposed to have like the free exchange of ideas or whatever, and like freedom of speech, and like not supposed to do censorship, the things that Elon Musk always talks about being like the most important things in the world, then you kind of have to, like, you're going to create controversy when the government that's supposed to be upholding those values and upholding those rights, like just decides, you know what, screw that. We actually was kidding. We didn't mean it.
What I'm saying is there is a discussion to be had about a device that's in your pocket that is tuned in to someone's, you know, let's say potential mental illness, and will feed into that and will just let you go down a rabbit hole of like your worst impulses. There's a discussion to be. What's that?
That's not the argument being made, though.
No, no, not at all. But I'm saying that is the discussion that should be being had. But it's not. It's not being had at all. And also, if you think, and going back to my thing of, you know, the TikTok in China is completely different than the TikTok that goes out to the rest of the world. If you think that this isn't, I won't say call it a psyop, but if you think this isn't a, again, what's the word I'm looking for? A happy accident for the Chinese government to, you know, to let people wallow in whatever delusions or mental illness they might have and go down TikTok rabbit holes and kind of rot a society from the inside out. If you think the Chinese government isn't pro that, then, you know, this is just the new age. You're crazy because this is just the new age voice of America is what it is. It's the same stuff that we, the CIA, and we have had going on in every country that's our enemy, our air quote enemy for forever. And I say VOA, Voice of America, is a radio station that pumps, that's in all these countries that, you know, that pumps out American propaganda. They're Chinese. The Chinese government's just better at it than us, and that's one of the reasons why they want to have it shut down.
Yeah, I guess my point is I don't care.
No, you're right, 100%. I don't care at all. I don't care. But like, if you want to have a good faith discussion about, like, if you want to bring in psychologists and be like, what is TikTok doing to people's brains? Like, that's a discussion that needs to be had. But when you fly the guy in from Singapore, I don't know what his position is. I just saw the clip of it. And you're questioning him about, you know, are you a Chinese citizen? Have you ever had any dealings with the Chinese government? The most racist, the most like McCarthy era garbage. I can't believe I'm seeing this in my lifetime. We're just right back to McCarthy. This is embarrassing, racist, and it gets us nowhere. That's not the discussion that needs to be had. This is all stupid. And the thing I know has been said somewhere. I just haven't seen it yet because I'm not that smart. Have any of these people who are sitting up in DC saying, yeah, we need a TikTok ban, we need a TikTok ban, has any of their staffers illuminated to them what a VPN is? Like, yeah, what? Like, you gonna ban? Okay, well, my location is now China. Well, no, it wouldn't be China. My location is now Europe. Because if I'm in China, I'm not going to be able to see, you know, these crazy, like, self-harm TikToks that are going around. But, yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's like, this is the biggest dog and pony show garbage of all time when we're literally funding a genocide, and this is the thing, like, my government expects me to care about.
Well, they don't understand it at all. I mean, they have states right now, like states. Virginia and Louisiana, actually, are both one of them that have like made it so that you have to like use your driver's license to like register for porn sites or whatever. And like these MFers don't know what a VPN is, do they? Like, literally, all you need to do is be like, I'm not in Louisiana, I'm in Atlanta.
No, it's absurd. It's absurd how dumb, you know, and it goes back to what we're saying, like, why the idea that Feinstein was able to hold on to power as long as she did, that Joe Biden or Donald Trump has the potential, one of these people are going to be, you know, the next president in the United States. It's disgusting. Like, you it's not even an age thing. Like, you're obviously not plugged in. Like, you're just not plugged in. I don't think This thing about age right now, of like Joe Biden's too old and Bernie was too old and Trump's too old. I honestly don't think, like, by the time we get dirt old, I don't think the way our society is, I don't think it's going to be the same. I think like a mentally sharp 80-year-old will be able to be an effective president, you know, congressperson, whatever. And somebody from our generation will be locked in. And that's not just like a hopeful thing. I just think that, I tell people all the time, I don't think I'm going to be old. And what I mean by that is if I do make it to old age, I don't think like if a kid's telling me like, yeah, you know, we got the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was like Fortnite. Oh, yeah, that was like TikTok. It was just like all these systems are built on one another. You know, the kind of the dividing line is the internet. I know this is like a broader theory now, but I'm saying like is like the invention of the telephone, then the internet. And now everything kind of runs through that to where I think about my grandfather who grew up. He was one generation away from, you know, his grandparents were slaves, not one generation, but his grandparents were slaves. There were no airplanes, no telephone. Then the telephone's invented, no computers. Then like the personal computer's invented. Then people are flying around. Then, you know, on airplanes, he's in World War II, you know, and it's like, all the stuff that he saw, he literally saw the earth, culture, civilization change so drastically by the end of his life. He didn't know what was going on, but I don't think we're going to be like that.
You never know, man. There might be another industrial revolution, but
that's what it would have to be. That's what I mean. That's what we're talking about.
Like,
you know?
We've actually kind of lived through that in terms of communications, like a communications revolution when it came to a lot more digital things, like the rise of the internet. Because, like, I mean, when I was in like middle school, high school, you know, that's when the internet becoming a thing, and you're like instead of using, paper dictionaries or whatever, you're using online sources to write your research papers or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So we kind of grew up in the middle of that change, and like the people that still make the rules because they didn't become adults until long after that was already established. That came established like long after their brain had just sort of like metastasized to the point where it can't, like, it's not flexible no more. Mm-hmm. Then it came up, like Dianne Feinstein's a perfect example because she died at what, like 90, 93 or something like that. Mm-hmm. She was what, 70 something, 60 something in like 1993 when the internet was like becoming a thing. So, I mean, yeah, it's just like one of these sorts of, in one respect, it's almost like impossible for you to expect somebody to like change their entire understanding of something like that when they're old. But like also at the same time, if they can't do that, then why are they running everything in the world? Why are they in charge of it? You know what I mean?
Right. I guess. Okay. So do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So yeah. I'm 42. I'm 8 years away from 50 years old. That's crazy to imagine, half a century. Right. And after we get off this call, I'm going to play video games and stream them over the internet.
Yeah.
That's not an old person's game. You see what I mean?
What we think of as old is not that. What young people think of as old is probably not that specifically. But there's something, and it's not even necessarily totally cultural. Well, I guess maybe it is, but it's like technological or just the way that we talk to one another or whatever. But there is something where somebody who is, you know, 22 or whatever will be like, oh, man, that dude's streaming on Twitch or whatever. Something about him is old. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm old. I'm old right now. What I'm saying is I understand how these things work. It's like even things that I don't use Instagram, right? Like that, I'm like, what? Y'all are messaging each other on Instagram, on the IG and the gram and all that? I don't use it. Because I'm too old for that, but I understand it. Mm-hmm. Like I had to go run a message 3 miles up the road to telephone.
Yeah. You can order that on, you have an app deliver it for you now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's the way the technologies are built on. Now what you're saying is correct. There could be a completely new, something completely revolutionary that we don't see. But as far as like everything that's like, wow, that's crazy. Like AI. Okay. AI is changing and getting better by the day, but it's still tapping in. When I go to ChatGPT and I say, do a thing, it's taking the way it's taking its quote unquote knowledge, it's drawing it from the internet. So it's taking a Google search and putting it into something tangible, a picture, a script, something like that, to where I can't tell Google to do that, but I can tell an AI to do that, and an AI will go to Google and then pull that information and make what I want. So all these technologies are one built on top of another. It's not like there was no thing. It's not there was no movie theater, and then all of a sudden there's movies, and then after that there's talkies, and then after that they're in color, but it's still a movie. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally. And the breakthrough I think that might happen, it might be just something that we don't understand, but I don't see it. Like, it might not even happen in our lifetime. Like, mm-hmm. but there is a very clear, like, bright delineation between, like, people who understand the internet and, like, how it works and, like, the technological advances and communication advances that have happened
since
1993 or whatever. And then the people who literally are just like, I'm not going to text even.
I think you might be right. I think I'm being a little too... I think I'm looking at it through Robert colored glasses. Well,
it's age correlated, but like, and it's like, it's obviously the line, the brightness of the line is not so much like everybody over 60 or whatever just doesn't understand the internet, but like some people and a lot of people are just like, well, that's new and seems hard, so I'm just not going to mess with it. You listen to WHLP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade, goodmorningcomrade.com. We're talking about the TikTok ban, I guess, but like we're kind of like moving into a broader conversation about like the way communication works and like the way that like cutting off TikTok would be bad for sure. And I mean, it's motivated by like the government controlling it. That's also another thing too. Like there's a lot of young people these days that think of like the way that the government works and exists as completely irredeemable. And like, while there's still like a whole bunch of like boomers and Gen Xers who, and even some millennials who seem to think that like, I mean, I would include myself in this, like it needs to be addressed to like, to actually change it. But a lot of like younger people are just like, screw that, we want to do something else. And I think at some point there's going to be a reckoning where faith in the, you know, the older institutions is going to fall away and they're going to have to either adapt or die. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's, I feel like that's a different conversation. It's one that scares me because
it's whether or not it scares you, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, but,
it's just coming, you know.
It's what you always say, the center can't hold. Mm-hmm. And you know, people are going to go one way or the other. They're going to go, it's socialism or fascism.
Yeah, but like that's sort of like another one too. And like I think that, I mean, my sort of approach from a, like, if you want to have a world that is in alignment with what you want to see going forward, you need to sort of seize power now and sort of move that, you know, the world into the newer vision that connects the old with the new and sort of like generate that synthesis. But like, you can't do that by yourself. You need to organize people to do it. And that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of phone calls, a lot of meetings, a lot of stuff that's not fun. You know, a lot of time that you'll be spending, playing video games. I mean, I love playing Street Fighter VI. I love playing Guilty Gear Strive. I love playing Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney and all that series and all that other stuff. And, like, I'm definitely not going to stop doing that. But, like, and honestly, like, with the way that, like, I guess, like, online footprints have increased and, like, people building communities, like, around their freaking Twitch streams or whatever, and the way that they... That's a way of socialization. It's parasocial, but like you can essentially like you look at somebody like Hassan Piker. He has a line to a generation that is younger than him that essentially he is communicating to. He's talking about how the world is now, not necessarily how he wants the world to be. And he engages with, I mean, I think he's, I, th- I mean, I'm not a person that's like, I agree with Hassan and everything, but I generally think Hassan's good. And I think that like, the way that he is like been able to sort of like build up a community that that he can at least explain how the world works, and then sort of like say, this is how power works. You have a group of people who can actually potentially understand it. And this dude gets like 30,000 people in his chat every day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you convinced me, because I was looking at, yeah, you're right. You convinced me. I'm looking at it through like Robert colored glasses, and I just have to remember how much of a freak I am. Like,
everybody's a freak.
What I mean is, I'm just not a normie. I'm not, it's like, you know, I think about guys at, you know, my job and like the stuff they're into and the stuff they do. And they're just, it's completely, it's like we're living in two different realities.
Yeah, even if they're, I mean, I got people that are younger than me that like don't even do anything that's like cool or whatever. I mean, it's just what it is. It's not even necessarily an age thing.
No, it's absolutely not.
I mean, it's not absolutely not. I mean, age is correlated to it, but it definitely is like something that, like, you know, it gets harder to engage with something that's new the older you get. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I do, but I just don't think. I think there'll be more people engaging. More things will just become standard cultural things than our parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, give you another example. I mean, the way that people think about like sexuality and gender now, mm-hmm, is so profoundly, significantly different. Like the way I think about it, because a lot of different sort of perspectives and, you know, even dare I say the word identities of people who have these, you know, different, you know, more trans people are visible, more and non-binary people are visible. Before the show, we were talking about transgender wrestlers and how it's like, there's a lot of like trans and non-binary wrestlers. It's like a whole community, and they come together, and like the thing that brings them together is, it's not necessarily, you know, it's not a class analysis of you know, capital or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people and part of that do that, and they and that's pretty cool as well. But like there are communities of this, which is not new. I mean, there's been gay bars and gay communities and like gay neighborhoods since forever. But like the fact that it is now cracked through the mainstream, like, and that's why you're getting a lot of this backlash and a lot of these, like, being quite frankly, either old or like really religious, or let's be quite frank, just cynical people who have just decided that their way to, you know, get famous and make money, or either make money or get power or both, is to just be like, appeal to old people who just hate gay people, hate trans people, hate non-binary people. That actually like placifies those communities. But the fact that they have broken through to the mainstream, the toothpaste out the tube, and you know, they ain't no going back. That's for sure.
It's amazing. Like, to speak on that, it's just like, I guess I am old and I will not understand. I don't understand people who are just like, you know, we call them bigots, transphobes, homophobes, racists, whatever. But I just don't understand the mental capacity. Not capacity is the wrong word. Just the viewpoint of somebody who's like, aren't you interested in people who aren't like you? Like, why is that not interesting?
They're scared of them, and part of the reason that they're scared of them is because it's different than them, one. And, like, most things that are different from you scare you at least a little bit. Sure, fine, whatever. But, like, there's also, again, a lot of social sort of, like people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and a lot of these old freaks as well, who have just decided to like, oh, these, you know, trans people, and they obviously are lying, you know, trans people, they're not putting litter boxes in freaking cat, you know, bad, mm-hmm, like, or whatever. And they're not like the gays and the trans and the NBs and the LGBTs are not going to like either trans or like harm your kids or whatever. It's like they're just trying to, they're doing everything that they can, these reactionaries, they're doing everything that they can to make people scared, and people just are responding to that appropriately, which is,
it's just like, I don't know, it's like you get one go at this thing, like you don't get to go back, and it's like, why wouldn't you want to experience? I'm not saying go out and Like, I'm a straight cis guy. Like, I'm not gonna be queer or trans anytime soon. But it's just like, why am I not? Why?
How would you hate trans people?
One of my favorite sources of my before I go to bed, like, it's become kind of a ritual. I drink a glass of water and I watch Trixie Mattel and I watch Katya, you know, two famous drag queens on YouTube with their little podcasty thing. And it's like, it's interesting to hear a perspective that's not mine and be like, oh, that's interesting. How do you deal with that? Like, it's like, so why you'd want to be like, well, this is the way everybody should live. And I want everybody to be just as boring as I am. It's like, what? Like, bruh, like, not to get too woo-woo, but, like, the tapestry of life, like, why don't you want to experience that? And, I don't know, I've had this conversation with my wife, too, and I think, you know, for me personally, I think a little bit of it has to do, like, being biracial, so I feel like I don't have a home anywhere, but there's something beautiful in that, because I don't have, like, a home, I don't feel at home anywhere, so everywhere's my home. It's like, oh, I'm out of place everywhere, so it's fine. It's like, it's no difference between being here or there. I'm going to stand out.
Yeah,
I don't know. People who are just boring, I don't get it, bro.
Look, man, I mean, like, the island of misfit toys comes together for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. And the fact that is, again, specifically right now on sexuality and gender is becoming more and more mainstream is, I mean, it's obviously a good thing, just because people of those identities are being, well, they're being accepted more, but, like, unfortunately, simultaneously, they're being attacked more, which is just sort of like the double-edged sword of the whole thing, I guess. Like, if you had it, I bet you, I don't want to speak for you know, people in these communities, but, like, if you
asked them,
hey, would you want to go back to the way things were, you know, 30 years ago, I imagine not that many of them would say, yeah, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Well, no, yeah,
like, even with these crazy trying to make, like teachers just, like, expose children's actual gender or whatever, and, like, all these other things, like, which are horrible. They're absolutely horrible. And I'm not trying to say, like, everything's peaches and, you know, whatever right now. But I mean, I would imagine if and the trans people are absolutely under attack right now, for sure. But, like, the way that they were treated in society is essentially an invisible non-entity of freaks that needed to be eradicated. Like, that is essentially, there's actually somebody pushing back against that in the mainstream now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It goes, you know, the kind of the, like, oh, people ask you, and I'm always the guy that ruins every party. Like, oh, you must be fun at parties, because I ruin everything. People go, oh, if you could go back in time, like, where would you want to go? Who would you want to meet? And I'm like, do I get to be white?
Yeah.
Because if I don't get to be white, I ain't going nowhere.
You ain't going that far back, at least.
Yeah. How about that? I'm right here. Yeah. But, yeah.
But But yeah, there is a connection, and I guess maybe this is the sort of, like, thread. There is a connection between, like, the, and I hate to be like, it's the olds about the whole thing, but, like, the people that are that are, you know, crying and whining and saying, like, you know, tic-tac-toe, we need to change TikTok or whatever. They're the ones that, like, they're the same age cohort for the most part as the people who are, I mean, it's a little bit different, I guess, because of the information flow thing, but there's not a, I mean, I bet you if you had, maybe this is speculative, but, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi, like, was in conversation with a trans person, however, could be squicked out.
Yeah. Sure. No, absolutely. No, they would be. Mm-hmm. Liberals suck. Liberals are the worst. I don't know how else I can. Liberals, I was duking it out online with one of your Facebook friends. They were acting crazy, you know. And I was just like, I'm like, you're worse than a conservative. You're worse than a Trumper, because with a Trumper, there is a possibility that they're just ignorant and they don't know any better. And if you present them with, you know, not even facts and figures, you as Ben Burgess would say, give them an argument, then that will change their mind. There's a chance, slim as it is. A liberal, you know better. You know better, and you choose to be trash. So I have no patience for you're worse. You know, like Malcolm X said, you know, the racist is the wolf. I hear him coming. He comes in packs. He's howling. He comes right at you. No problem. I can deal with that. He goes, but the liberal's a fox. They come at you smiling. They come at you grinning, and then they stab you, and then they ask you, why are you bleeding?
So you're listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning, Comrade. Now we're talking about liberals.
Trash. Take them out with the trash.
It's like the old Love Me, I'm a Liberal song, right?
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. They're against every war except the current one and every human rights and civil rights issue except the one that's going on right now. They're awful. They are truly my enemy. They are agents in the Matrix. They can become anyone. They will change shape at will. They have no real convictions. They're just slippery and slimy and just try to just use rhetoric to just deny your freedom for one more day. No, we're not doing that. I don't play with them. Not at all.
So I guess sort of like we have about 10 minutes left. What else we got? What else we got going on?
Did you see Meghan McCain get clowned real bad?
Tell me about it.
All right, let me see. I actually brought it up. Let me see.
Meghan McCain, huh? She's back?
Did she ever leave? Gross.
Like, who? By the way, American hero John McCain, who dropped how many fighter jets did he crash during Vietnam War?
I don't know. I'm not into the losers. Not at all. But yeah. That's so cool.
I would have never gotten captured. I would have never. John McCain got captured by the Vietnamese.
So I'm not into the Oscars. I think they're dumb. The only Oscars that I ever liked, I thought was cool, was the COVID Oscars, where they just had it in like a ballroom and it was like cozy. I'm like, they should just do this every year. So whoever the guy is, what's that?
Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah. He made the Holocaust movie. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and he gave a speech about a very tepid, almost, shall I say, liberal-esque monologue about, you know, let's have peace and this and that. Like, the most safest milquetoast thing, let's have peace in the Middle East, that kind of thing.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
And people lost their mind. So Meghan McCain...
By the way, like saying peace in the Middle East, it's like a very 90s thing.
It's so 90s. Literally, when I said that, I thought of the what popped in my mind was the Family Matters episode where Urkel was saying that, trying to be cool. So 90s. I could literally just, I saw it in my, it just popped right in front of my eyes. But so he gave a speech, you know, like I said, this very like safe speech. And Meghan McCain decided to slander the man and say on Twitter, a lot of people in Hollywood showing their butts when a man gets on stage to refute his Jewishness, and half the room claps. It was so. What's that?
Let me play okay.
A piece of that. Oh, please go ahead.
Present.
So here's the speech, just to kind of get over just how sort of like tepid it is and how like not controversial. Here we go.
All our choices were made to reflect and confront us in the present, not to say look what they did then, rather look what we do now. Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here
not
as men.
Specific at all about any of this stuff.
Men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether.
So he mentions the occupation, which is good.
The victims of October.
Well,
Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist? Alexandra Bistron Kolodziejczyk, the girl who glows in the film as she did in life, chose to. I dedicate this to her memory and her resistance. Thank you.
So that's basically a little bit both sides. He acknowledges the occupation. I'd give him like a 3.5, a solid 3.5 out of 5. You know what I mean? Like, that's not too bad. But it's like pretty like lib stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I was saying.
And you said Meghan McCain. Can you read Meghan McCain again?
Sure. A lot of people in Hollywood showing their butts when a man gets on stage to refute his Jewishness and half the room claps. This is such a slander that even Twitter had to be like, community guidelines, quote, misleading. It says right under misleading, quote, quoted text is a small fragment of the original statement and misses important context. And then it prints his speech. But it's like, yeah, even Twitter, the Nazi hellscape that is Twitter, which is like, come on, Megan. That's too much. You're doing too much. You're doing too much heavy lifting for Israel.
Twitter's gone woke, man.
And the best retort I saw was, I think it was Mehdi Hasan reposted a video, and it's just a supercut, a minute long supercut of every time Nepo baby Meghan McCain just said, my father, my father, my father, my father, my father, my father. I haven't done anything. I came out of the right vagina, and now I have a career because of it. So my father, my father, my father, I have nothing to stand on that I have done on my own. She had
the best maternal birthing person.
Oh, absolutely. She's such trash. And I feel like I've told you this before. There was a time maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago where I thought like Meghan McCain was the most dangerous conservative on earth. No. Because she was like trying to be cool and she was being hip, and
she
I was like, "Oh,
out with Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks." Remember
exactly.
That?
That's another trashy lib. That's another one.
Speaking of the birthing person thing,
this person mumbled at her once in L.A. Ooh, Anna. Oh my goodness, we got to change everything. Yeah, now she just takes out. It's a war on the trans and the poor, and Anna Kasparian is at the front of the vanguard.
That's some love me, I'm a liberal stuff. Right?
Yeah, that's I'm so excited to be politically on the same side as garbage people like that. It's awful.
Well, I guess you're not voting for Cenk.
I even if I could, let's say it did matter.
That's good on Palestine at least.
Let's say it did matter. He all right. I feel like Cenk Uygur was a stepping stone for me. Cenk Uygur and the Young Turks were a stepping stone for me from liberalism to being a leftist. And I blow him a kiss and wave goodbye. There's a picture of me and him. Like, I got a picture with him, and I saw him in a Cincinnati casino, and I got a picture with him. That just popped up. Yeah, it just popped up on my YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, my Facebook, and was like, oh.
Let me have a picture.
I will. I'll send it to you. I look the same. Yeah, it's a terrible world out there. Trust no liberal. They've always got your worst. They've got your worst. Not opinion. I can't think of what I'm trying to say.
It's like the old Patrick Stewart as like, never trust liberals, they'll betray you thing.
Have you seen
that video?
Yeah, I have, and they will 100%. Like every time, like historically. World War II, like, Hitler rose to power because of liberals, because of the Weimar Republic. Like, they're bad. They're really bad. They say they're with you until there's some kind of even, if they even think that your liberation is going to materially change their life in any way, then they jump ship and they go right to fascism.
Yeah.
Every time.
Straight. Like, that's who
straight no chaser. Yeah.
Really? I mean, and again, like, I mean, like, I hate to be, like, too kind of, like, loosey-goosey feeling with some of this stuff, but, like, when like when even you see the Biden administration, like when it becomes a problem for him as president, like the idea of immigrants or whatever, he's like, oh no, we got to do all of the stuff Trump said for immigration. Like all the exact same stuff.
Again, like, yeah, so how are you going to tell me that, oh, I got to go save democracy and vote for Joe Biden? Or what? We're going to have draconian immigration policies? Or what? We're going to do a genocide on brown people? Or what? We have to protect Roe versus Wade? Tell me exactly why.
That Trump will do work, which is true.
What is Joe Biden defending again? I don't know.
But like, not that true. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. It's not at all. And I don't know what to do about it.
Don't trust the liberals.
Don't trust the liberals, for sure.
They'll betray you. Well, thank you so much, Robert. We'll do it next week. We might have to do a little bit of freaky deaky scheduling stuff when it comes to you being out of the country, but we should get that figured out maybe on the front end. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening to Good Morning Comrade, and we love you. Anything to say on the way out, Robert?
Nah. See you next time.
Shout out to Bull Nakano for getting into WWE Hall of Fame. We love you. Bye bye.
Especially Bull Nakano.
In every American community, you have varying shades of political opinion. One of the shadiest of these is the liberals. An outspoken group on many subjects. 10 degrees to the left of center in good times. 10 degrees to the right of center if it affects them personally. So here then is a lesson in safe logic. I cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine. And I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Get it? I go to civil rights rallies, and I put down the old D.A.R. D.A.R., that's the Dykes of the American Revolution. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. But don't talk about revolution. That's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen. My faith in the system restored. And I'm glad that the commies were thrown out from the AFL-CIO board. And I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Ah, the people of old Mississippi should all hang their heads in shame. Now I can't understand how their minds work. What's the matter, don't they watch Les Crane? But if you ask me to bus my children, I hope the cops take down your name. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Yes, I read New Republic and Nation. I've learned to take every view. You know, I've memorized Lerner and Golden. I feel like I'm almost a Jew. But when it comes to times like Korea, there's no one more red, white, and blue. So love me, love me, love me, I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I attend all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. And I'll send all the money you ask for. But don't ask me to come on along. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. Sure, once I was young and impulsive. I wore every conceivable pin. Even went to socialist meetings. Learned all the old union hymns. Ah, but I've grown older and wiser. And that's why I'm turning you in. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal.
You are listening to WHIV-LP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning, Comrade.